So those three things were introductory. You can throw them behind me. That's done. All right, let's open Scripture. Our Scripture today is Psalm 139, but only verses 7 to 14 or 7 to 12. So I'd like to read that, and then that'll be the basis for a message that is titled, Four Simple Words. Four Simple Words. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. The word of the Lord. So what I'd like to do today is acquaint you today with four simple words. Four simple words that I hope will help you in whatever trouble you are going through. Four simple words of just one syllable each. But these four simple words change everything that you are struggling with in your life when the one who speaks them is God. Here they are. I am with you. And that changes everything. When we are troubled, what we need to hear more than anything else are those four simple words from God. I am with you. In other words, you are not alone. In whatever problem you face right now in your life, in whatever trouble or pain that you are in, you are not alone. That's huge. God says in Psalm 139, I am with you, and that makes all the difference. That gives you what you need to keep going. Let's open up just verses 7 to 12. David is saying in verses 7 to 12 that you matter to God so much that there is no place you can go, there is no trouble you may be in, but that he is there with you by your side. Four simple words. I am with you. Study verses 7 to 12 with me. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Even if I wanted to for some crazy reason. If I had a twisted thought of wanting to disappear or had a twisted thought of mattering less to you, I could not run away from you because an all-present God is there. And so now verse 8, he says, even if I ascend infinitely up, let's say, or I went infinitely down, you would be there. In fact, the Hebrew in verse 8 literally reads like this, if I go up to the heavens, thou, just one word, thou, if I make my bed in the depths, thou. Verse 9. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, that means that if I take off in an easterly direction, the wings of the dawn mean the sunrise to the east, and if I keep on going indefinitely, or if I go in a westerly direction, the far side of the sea was to the west of David, and keep going on forever, either direction, I cannot escape your loving presence. And David does not mean God's presence is everywhere in a cold, theological kind of way. David is saying, God, I matter to you so much that wherever I would run to or wherever I would be kidnapped or dragged to, verse 10, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God my Father will hold me wherever my life takes me. My Heavenly Father does not withdraw his hand, no matter where I go, east or west, up or down. And then there are children of God's family who worry about God's night vision. They're afraid that something's going to happen that is going to escape God's notice, that God can't make his presence penetrate darkness. If you're worried about darkness hiding God's presence, verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, yet even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Even in the dark, my hand is outstretched. Hold on to it. We don't need to fear that God will be absent from us even in the darkest moments of our life. One of life's most difficult experiences is to feel like God is not with you in your trial. To feel like he's nowhere around, like he's abandoned you, like he's not by your side as you descend into a deep and dark valley. We've all suffered times when we feel like God absented himself just when we needed him. There is a deeper pain, that is a deeper pain than any wound in our body. It is a wounding of the soul. To feel like you have been abandoned by everyone, even God, is too much to bear. Today, we will open up verses 7 to 12 and study three places that you would never expect to find God. But in each of these three places where we would never expect to find him, he is there. In Psalm 139, the writer uses three metaphors for places where we would never expect to find God. God-forsaken places. The three places stand for our experiences of hopelessness and forsakenness. The writer is telling us that we can expect to find God precisely in those places where any rational person would know that God could not and would not be there. But he is. Three metaphors. The first metaphor is the far side of the sea. Verses 9 and 10. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. The ancient world in which Psalm 139 was written believed that the far side of the sea was the rim of the earth. Where the sea stopped, there was a bottomless abyss, an endless nothing. If you walked one step too far, you would fall into a black hole of unending nothingness where you were beyond the reach even of God. So to the ancient world, this first metaphor stands for the experience of losing control of your life. The far side of the sea for the ancient world is the place, the experience, where the bottom drops out of your life, where there is no one who can reach down and pull you up, where there is no one who can help you get your feet on the ground again, where not even God can stop your free fall into ruin, where you are toast for sure. That's what the ancients believed about this first metaphor, the far side of the sea. Is the rim of the earth, the abyss, the black hole of nothingness, where you were beyond the reach even of God. But then the writer counters this common belief of the ancient world. He says that even there you will discover this. God is there after all. He counters ancient belief by writing that even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Here is what the ancient readers would have heard the writer saying. Even when the bottom drops out of your life, even when you think you are in the place where not even God can reach down and pull you up, even when you are in the experience where you think not even God can stop your free fall into sin, even when you are in the abyss of the black hole of nothingness, contrary to what the ancient world believes, God is there. Even there, His right hand is holding you fast. He will never let you go. Ever been there? Have you? Ever been there? In that experience? Or in that place? Or you felt even beyond the reach of God? My friend, I do not know where you might feel like God is not with you, where God cannot reach you, where God cannot hold you. I do not know what experience you are enduring where you feel that God cannot reach down and pull you up. But I do know this. He is there. His right hand holds you. He will never forsake you, not even in what for you is the far side of the sea. The writer of Psalm 139 uses three metaphors for places in the ancient world where they never expected to find God. We just cover the first one, on the far side of the sea. To the ancients, this was a metaphor for losing control of your life. The far side of the sea was to them a bottomless abyss, an endless nothing, a black hole, a place where not even God could stop your free fall into ruin. You were toast. But even there, this writer tells the ancients, God is. So when you and I lose control of our lives, when we feel we are in a place of bottomlessness, when we feel like we are falling into such nothingness, where we feel that we are so far gone that not even God can pull us back, He is there. He is still with us. He's holding on to us. Please know that. The second metaphor is darkness, verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, yet even the darkness will be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Darkness is a metaphor for a time of evil in your life. If the far side of the sea is a metaphor for losing control of your life in the bottomless abyss, darkness is a metaphor for a time in your life when evil is afoot. So you feel vulnerable and unprotected, a victim. You never know who's lurking in the shadows. Evil is loose in the land. Here too, God is not absent from you. Is there a sense in your life, maybe, that evil is lurking out there? Is some evil making you afraid? Some foreboding of evil, of darkness? Not to worry. God is with you even when you are groping in the darkness. He can see in the dark. He sees the evil in the world. It does not take Him by surprise. He is with you. He is holding you, and He will bring you through that evil. Finally, we come to the third metaphor of Psalm 139 for where the ancients never expected to find God, The first was the far side of the sea. The second was the darkness. The third is the depths. Verse 8. Even if I make my bed in the depths, you are even there. The Hebrew word is Sheol. What does it mean? What in the world is Sheol? No one is exactly sure. It could be the dark underworld where the ancients thought departed spirits went after death. Or it could be the depths of suffering, whether that suffering is physical, emotional, or spiritual. Or it could have been hell, which some translations say it is. We do not know for certain what the word Sheol means literally, but it is safe to say this. It is the place of the depths of suffering. It means the place or the state where you are in the depths, where you are suffering intensely, where you are in despair, where your life has become a hell. It means that even in the deepest depths of your life, God is there, underneath you, holding you. It means, in the words of Deuteronomy, that underneath are the everlasting arms. Whatever the depths or Sheol is literally, it stands for our own private, inner, God-forsaken experience. It stands for the awful times when we know that the game is up with us and we are alone without hope. But not to worry. God will be there with you even when you have gotten yourself snared in some private hell. So we know that God will be there with us in every one of these three places the ancients believed he could never be. First, he will be there in the places and experiences so God-forsaken that we think he could not possibly be there even if he wanted to be. He'll be in those places holding us when our life is out of control, when we're in the abyss. The second metaphor is that he will be there leading us through any darkness of evil. And the third metaphor is that he will be there in the depths, in any hell of suffering. He is ahead of us, behind us, above us, under us, and even in us, in places and experiences where no rational person would ever think that he could be. But he is there, with you, always. Let's apply these three metaphors to your life. Let's apply them to three kinds of people, two kinds of people who may be here today. The brokenhearted first, and the fearful second. First, I want to speak to you if you are brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18 is a precious verse where the psalmist writes, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He is close to those who are crushed in spirit." Is your heart breaking today? Is your heart breaking today? The Lord is near you. Some of you are going through some rough times right now, and you are ready to give in or give up and throw in the towel. You don't even know if you want to keep going in the direction you're going. I don't know what you're going through. But whatever it is, God is going through it with you. Okay? You are not alone. When the roof caves in, God is with you. Listen to Isaiah 42, verses 2 and 3. I used to read this for 10 years as a hospice chaplain. "When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not burn. for you are precious in my sight. You may be walking through a fire. God is in the fire with you. Some of you feel so broken that you might feel like your prayers don't get above the ceiling. Ever felt that way? Well, guess what? God is below the ceiling. You don't have to pray some super duper prayer that you think has to blast off into heaven a million light years away up to God. He is below the ceiling. He is right there. You don't have to feel like you're getting them up to heaven. Are you brokenhearted? I don't know if some of you are today, but maybe some are. God says, I am with you. The brokenhearted first. Second, the fearful. Why is it that we almost always feel better about facing a fear when we have somebody with us? Even if they can't offer us anything more than moral support, we still feel better about facing something if we have someone with us. You would never want to go into your fear or your battle alone. You need to know others are with you. And there are not many people in this place right now who are not afraid of something. We all face the unknown. The Lord walks with you into the unknown. He loves you too deeply to ever walk alone. Wherever you are, God walks with you. Whatever fears you walk into, God is there. And this gives you courage, and it gives you peace, because you never have to walk into your fears alone, because your Father would not have it that way. He is with you. It happened during the First World War. Somewhere between the French and German lines, Benedictine monks were conducting a worship service, a vesper service. While they were singing a hymn, a shell tore through the roof and exploded in the nave of the church. For a few minutes, the church was filled with smoke and dust. And when the smoke cleared away, the monks were still there singing the same hymn. What words were they singing? This hymn, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." There is something compelling about that picture. Why didn't those monks run for cover? Why did they remain at the altar? What compelled them to stay when we would have fled? Apparently, those monks were so convinced that God was present in their midst that they felt no need to run for safety. The only thing that mattered to them, in the middle of an artillery shell exploding, the only thing that mattered to them was God's presence. Job 13:37, "You, God, keep a close watch on all my paths." We are afraid of many things. I think of our fear of dying, for example. Psalm 23, verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because thou art with me." David writes that even in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is in that place, walking with David. This is why Isaiah also speaks of the time of our death with these words, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." And how does 2 Corinthians 5 describe my death? To be present with the Lord. At the moment of my death, I am present with the Lord. You see death ahead of you? Don't be afraid. God has been with you for a long time. He is with you now. And God will go with you right up to the end of your life. And He will go with you through that mysterious line that separates this life from the life to come. And you will be lifted up to glory. We fear other fears. Maybe you don't need a new neighborhood to live in. Maybe you need to see God surrounding you in your current neighborhood. The challenge all of us face is to see God's presence surrounding us in every fear that we have. When you thought that you were going to go under and lose your house, do you know why you're still living there? God carried you. When you thought that losing your job was going to be the end of the world, do you know why it was not the end of the world? God carried you. You are still breathing today because God carries you. And He will continue to carry you until the day He carries you home. So my application is to the brokenhearted and to the fearful, and quickly to parents. God is with your children also. He's not going to leave them.